Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Paula Poundstone, circa 1990.
I actually eat a box of Pop-Tart today. I open the first pouch and I eat one tart and I enjoy it very much, as naturally I would. And then I feel, well, I have to eat the second one or it will go stale. Well, now I've eaten two and it's no longer just a snack, it's a meal. I figure I may as well eat two more. And finally, I'm just like, well, hell, I don't just want two Pop-Tarts hanging out in a box. I eat the last two just to tidy up, really.
Comedian Paula Poundstone performing in her HBO stand-up special of 1990, Cats, Cops, and Stuff. You may know Paula from her recurring role as a panelist on the NPR News quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or from her comedy CD, I Heart Jokes, or from a million other things. Paula will be performing tomorrow, July 21st, at the Bergen Performing Arts Center in Englewood, and it is great to have her join us here for a few minutes. Hey, Paula, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. And, you know, it is a dream spot coming in right after the end-of-life pain issues.
I knew that you would feel perfectly cast.
Oh, I do.
After
I do.
That. Because
I welcome the challenge.
If, you know, any comedian should have a warm-up act as unfunny as that.
Oh, man.
So what's the new show like?
Well, let's see. I talk about raising a house full of animals and kids. I talk about trying to keep up on the news well enough to be a halfway decent voter. And my favorite part of the night is I talk to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? And in this way, little biographies of the crowd emerge from which I weave the show.
Like what? What do you expect to hear? Can you give me an example of, like, what you have heard from an audience member and how you work with it?
Oh, I've heard fabulous stuff from audience members, although it often goes out of my head right soon thereafter. Although there was a woman one night who told me that she did squirrel rescue, and she was dead serious.
You don't get that every night.
No, you don't get that every night, and it was a great and fine thing. I'm trying to think. I was in the Hamptons the other night. Of course, I got a lot of retirees.
So wait, what do you do in a situation like that? You say, what do you do? I do squirrel rescue. Then what do you say?
I don't even remember anymore. You know, the thing is, I really don't. I mean, probably a third of any show is, you know, unscripted on a good night. You know, not material per se. And really what's great about it is it is unique to that night. It doesn't. I don't do the same thing again, and therefore I really don't hold on to it.
That's really hard. You have to be really, really present, because I think our general conception of stand-up comics is they go in there having memorized their lines and their timing, and they do it.
Well, you know, I work with guys, or have worked with guys, that do the exact same thing every single night. And by the way, they do it brilliantly. I don't know. Somehow I never pulled that off, for better or for worse. And to me, there is just an excitement and fun about, you know, it's about having a conversation with the audience. And actually, it kind of set me right up for being a panelist on Wait, Wait, because that's what is asked of us, which feels so great to me. I mean, I can't tell you how many settings I've been in where, you know, and mostly on television, I suppose, where they really do, you know, they want you to know exactly what you're going to say. And that just makes me squirm.
Yeah. I was just thinking that improvisatory style makes you perfect for Wait, Wait. Peter Sagal is so spontaneously funny. So that kind of sets the tone, and everybody's got to be in there and be able to do that.
He's great. He really is a genius. The show, for those who don't know, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, is a weekly news quiz show from NPR.
And really?
For those who
I'll
don't know.
You'll have to listen sometime.
There's probably somebody who probably a handful of people who don't know. I am one of, there's three panelists per show, and there's probably about, I don't know, 15 or 20 of us all together that rotate in no particular order that I'm aware of. And obviously, it's questions based on the week's news. So the questions and the real answers and the explanation of the real news story are in fact scripted. But we panelists don't. That's not the part we're doing. Try legitimately to answer the questions, and then we basically make jokes about about the week's news.
So do you have to be well informed about the week's news to do a wait gig well? Do you prepare? Do you study?
Yeah.
You know,
I do study. Yes,
you do.
And let me just clear something up. I love every opportunity I have among listeners to clear up this misconception.
Yes.
I really appreciate, which is yes, I am trying to win. A lot of people think I'm actually not trying to win. I am trying very hard to win. I have three kids at home. I'm the shame of the Poundstone house every time I lose.
It's funny because a comment on our comments page that just came in from John Paul from Elizabeth, New Jersey, said, "It's always the highlight of the week when Paula is a panelist on Wait, Wait. I especially love the time she intentionally got every question wrong in the lightning round." Very gutsy and hilariously handled. So you're being contradicted here, Paula.
Well, he's incorrect. If I got every... You know what's funny about that?
What?
I don't remember that. But B, soon after that happened, it did happen because they told me it did. But soon after it happened, we had the 10-year anniversary of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and kindly they made a dinner for us, and we were all together, which we never are. We were never all in the same room at the same time. And so it was a lovely event. And, the producers, stood up and made a little speech before the dinner began. They said they were listing all these statistics, like how many radio stations had the show when it first began, which was, of course, a small number, and how many have it now, which is a larger number, and, we applaud, and everybody's happy, and so they're going through all these various statistics, and one of the statistics was how many times someone got none right in the lightning round, and I'm looking around, the circular table that I'm at, trying to see what poor fool that might have been, and, I can't guess, who could have done that badly. And then I hear them say my name. And, the funny part about it was it was about 2 weeks before that dinner that had happened. And I just, for some reason, had no memory of it, which shows you what a poor shot at getting questions right about the week's news that I have in terms of my memory.
All in pursuit of... defending your integrity from not doing it on purpose. We have 2 minutes left. Now, one of my producers wrote up a quick round of Not My Job for You, the Wait, Wait feature, where a celebrity guest calls in and answers questions about something they know nothing about. Now you are our celebrity guest, so we thought we would take just like about a minute and a half, which is all we have, and turn the tables on you. And there is a prize. Instead of having Carl Castle record his voice on a listener's mail, I have offered to do it, and we're playing for a listener, Jane Kelly, who actually signed up for this when we put the word out before the show. Are you willing?
I'm very excited for Jane.
Okay. So we thought that we would play a game of this about the other Paula, former American Idol judge Paula Abdul, and we're calling this game Simon after her iconic wail at her former co-host. So here's the question. We'll probably only have time for one. So besides hosting American Idol or judging on it, Abdul is also famous for her award-winning work in choreography. Which of these famous cinematic dance scenes did she actually arrange? Uma Thurman and John Travolta's dance to Chuck Berry in Pulp Fiction, 1994. The chaotic stoned dance scene from the end of the 1985 teen drama The Breakfast Club, or Tom Hanks' giant keyboard scene in the 1988 romantic comedy Big.
Wow. I'm going to say the Breakfast Club one.
Oh, that was a good guess, except that it's wrong. She choreographed the Tom Hanks giant keyboard scene.
Wow, that was the third on my list of choices.
Yeah, and that was pretty obscure, I have to say. So,
how could that have been choreographed, for heaven's sakes?
But you know, it's it was.
He ran back and forth on the plastic piano board on the floor.
You know, I mean, you know what direction is, right? They direct movement as well as lines and everything. So I guess she, what they call, choreographed that. All right, we're just about out of time. Tell us, Paula Poundstone, you're going to be at the Bergen Performing Arts Center in Englewood tomorrow night. Will you be wearing a suit and tie?
I will be wearing a suit and tie.
Why do you wear suits and ties to your stand-up?
I haven't yet packed it. Because they're sporty. Because they're striking. Because they're easy. You don't have to. It's like wearing garanimals.
It's true. Men's clothes are easy.
They're really easy. And I want to put as little focus on that as I prepare for the evening as I possibly can.
So great to have you with us, and we'll hear you on Wait, Wait, Too. Thanks a lot, Paula.
All right. Thanks a lot. It was fun.
Paula Poundstone, Brian Lehrer on WNYC.